Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Alternalegal Podcast. I'm your host, Canyon Cody, taking you on a deep dive into the world of Latin alternative with in-depth conversations with legends like Juanes and Julieta Venegas, Café Tacuba, Natalia Lafourcade, and a new generation of young superstars like Omar Apollo, Danny Lux, Cuco, and Iván Cornejo, who have all stopped by our weekly radio program, Alternalegal with Subsuelo, broadcasting at the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles. But on the radio show, we only have time to air brief snippets of those conversations, so here on the Alternalegal Podcast is where you will find the unedited, uncut, extended version of all those interviews. Follow and listen to the Alternalegal Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.
And we are back. This is Alternalegal, and it is time for the Artist Spotlight with Ife, one of my favorite artists in the world right now. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, Canyon. How you doing, brother?
Man, I am so excited to talk with you. You are an artist who I respect so much. There's so much integrity in your work. And it's also so funky. I feel as though, you know, some people can get a little preachy and some people can be a little kind of thin with their purpose. And you got both. So before we get to the new music and the new album, just take me back. Talk to me about like where you came from and how you got into music.
Yeah, so I grew up in Indiana. I was born and raised there, and my mother was a piano player in the church, so she kind of got all of her kids into music in some way, shape, or form. And when I was a young kid, I decided I wanted to play the drums, and so my family kind of helped me to like get my first drums lesson. And I was also into like rap music as a kid, real young too, and so I was basically like playing along with, you know, Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick and Kool Moe Dee and LL Cool J and like all the first rap records I was buying, just playing my drum set to those things. And I got into like drumline and drum corps in high school, and eventually ended up going to the University of North Texas, which is kind of like an ultra competitive music school just to study music. And so while I was in Texas, I met Erykah Badu sort of at a really young point in her career. And I was around a really interesting group of Black creatives in Dallas that sort of pushed me into the world of hip hop and, you know, DJing and hip hop production. And so, yeah, I worked for years DJing hip hop and dance all in the club. And at some point I decided I wanted to start making my own music. So that led to the world of samplers, MPC 3000, hip hop production, that sort of thing. And at that point in time, I was living in Puerto Rico and producing hip hop basically and indie music for artists out there like Cultura Profética, a woman named Mima. There was a reggae guy named Young Raga, and sort of doing that work. And at some point in time, I decided I wanted to make an album for myself as a producer. And that desire to do something, you know, where I'm basically writing the music, singing the songs became Ife.
First, I want to go back and talk about your first record, your debut record. What was the intentionality behind that album?
Yeah, at the time, this would have been maybe 2012. I knew that I wanted to do something on my own. And I'm like a producer that used to sample a lot of source material. So I would sample old bits of records and make new things. And I knew that this thing that I wanted to do needed to sound modern. And as I was coming up with the name for the project, I was going through a folder of like photos that I had that were inspirational folders on my little desktop or whatever. And I saw a photo when Life magazine brought a photographer to shoot the aftermath of the Watts riots. And I was looking at the photos, and they basically sent, you know, a photographer out to Watts to shoot, and they thought they were going to shoot like I think what they thought was like the hood, like, you know, and they were shooting the hood, but what they ended up finding was like a level of Black sophistication that I don't think that Life magazine was necessarily prepared for. Mm. And they ended up shooting these kids that were like Black dandies. And I was going through the photos and I noticed the logo for Life is so iconic in its design and power. And so as I was looking at the photo, I saw that if you lopped off the L on Life, you got Ife. Mm. And Ife in the Yoruban religion or Yoruban language means love and expansion. And I knew as I was already beginning to initiate inside the religion, sort of colloquially known as Santeria, that the colors red and white were also the colors of the deity Shango, who is the owner of drums and dance. And so right there, I had it. I was like, all right, I want to make a music that expresses love and expansion with the blessing of Shango in music and dance. And I just tried to make a music that was that in a modern way. And so instead of sampling old records this time, I just took a structure that was old, which is Cuban rumba, and some of the music from the worship of the Orishas, which is Bata music. And I took that musical language and converted it into electronics. So it's modern, but it moves with a language that's thousands of years old.
So, you know, that inspiration from seeing, you know, some photojournalism of the Watts riots kind of connects to this new album, which also was inspired kind of by some violence that is happening contemporary in America. Talk to me about the inspiration for this record.
So this record as a whole is sort of a companion piece to the first record. So both of them are really trying to express love and expansion in some way, shape, or form. The first one was based off of the very first sign in the Ifa divination corpus. So I'm a priest of Ifa. We're called Babalaos, and we divine for the people that are part of our religious practice. So the very first sign that could be divined of the 256 is pronounced Ehiogbe. And when that sign comes out in prophecy, it means the beginnings, open roads, pure light. And so that was sort of the story arc that I built the first record around. The second record is built off of the second sign of the 256 called Yekun Mei. And when that sign comes out in divination, the night is born. And it also death is born. And so they say when that sign comes, you need to have a fearless embrace of death, because death is just nothing but a natural part of life. The idea that you will see a new beginning. Also, it means that your ancestors are there to support you. So this is a record that's about the night. It's about the support of ancestors. And it's sort of about the taking a look at yourself and being honest about the time you have on this planet and your existence in it. And so the single Fake Blood, really, I was inspired by sort of the truth versus what we're often fed in terms of a narrative by the news media or by life in general. So I remember when the Las Vegas mass shooting happened in 2017, mm-hmm. Just the reaction of you know, politicians and the news media in general, sort of acting as if we were somehow not responsible for the level of death and gun violence in this country. Like, there's nothing that we could do about it. Mm-hmm. And that was also at a time where, you know, Donald Trump was really doubling down on the idea of fake news and calling things that were real fake. And so the idea of what's real and fake sort of became more and more nebulous. And I thought it was interesting that he was calling real things fake. And so I just sort of like started as a joke to kind of make a running list of real fake things. So, you know, fake Nikes or fake pearls or fake diamonds. These are things that we know are fake. You know what I mean? As opposed to like, you know, calling something fake that's not actually fake. And that idea of like challenging the question of why do we like fake things? Why do we like fiction so much as opposed to taking a hard look at the truths in life? And so, yeah, Fake Blood is sort of a running list of real fake things, whereas The Hook is sort of like a running list of fictional authors, television shows, movies, and sort of just questioning why this fantasy land is more desirable sometimes than actually taking a real look at ourselves.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
That was Fake Blood from Ife, our artist spotlight of the week, and we are talking with Otura Moon. And, you know, you talked about your background in drum corps as a percussionist. When did you make the transition into being a vocalist also? And was that something that was comfortable for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I had never written vocals or sung a song in my life until I made Ife. And the first song that I wrote was the single House of Love, which is Ife's second single. Traditionally, I was known as a producer that made beats for singers and rappers. And so I was always working with other vocalists. And at this point in time for Ife, I had a really clear idea of what I wanted to say in music. You know, I knew what the message was. I knew the style that I wanted to say it, but I kept looking for someone else to be the voice to deliver it. And after a few months of rehearsing with the other musicians and trying to nail down a singer, I was just like, look, man, if Daddy Yankee can do it, I can do it. You know, not that the bar is super low, but I can do this, you know? And so I just had to go at it. And House of Love was the first thing that I wrote, and I quite liked it, you know, and just kept going, you know. So yeah, it was a bit strange. You know, the first show that we played internationally was like a Toronto, Caribbean music festival. And so I stepped on stage and there were, you know, 3,500 people there. And that was the first time I had performed anything vocally. And so it was a bit of a jump, but I don't know. You know, I had also really been used to performing as a DJ in front of really large crowds. So it wasn't so much of a jump in terms of, being able to perform on that level. So yeah, it was cool. It was a challenge. And the group has really pushed me again, like in terms of love and expansion. The entire process has been something that has pushed me as a musician and as a producer and as a performer. So it's been a project that's opened a lot of doors for me in my creative output as well. So.
And, you know, it's not super common to have drummers who sing at the same time. I mean, I can think of like maybe Chris Franz from Tom Tom Club, maybe Phil Collins. Yeah. Maybe there's some others that you're aware of. Is it difficult to keep time and sing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it forces you to have a really great internal clock. You know what I mean? And so it forces you to be a better drummer for sure. I don't know. It hasn't been so difficult, you know. I think like, for me, actually, as an artist, the other things, in terms of like learning how to be a good band leader, how to be gracious with your musicians, how to, teach somebody a song and train a group. Those have been things that have been perhaps more challenging than actually just going out on stage and doing it, you know.
Because you are in a situation that a lot of artists that we have on the program is in which you are an individual, you are a human being named Otura Moon, and Ife is your project, but there are other members of the band. What is that kind of flexibility and compromise like? Getting feedback from other members of the band when this is your baby.
I've kind of gone the gambit with it. I think, you know, to be 100% transparent, like, I think my idea about wanting to have a sort of, you know, I grew up in the age of bands too, you know what I mean? So like, you know, one of my favorite concerts that I ever went to was maybe like the Beastie Boys and Smashing Pumpkins at Lollapalooza or something like that. Like that Siamese Dream is like a huge record for me or, you know, so I love bands and I always kind of wanted something like that. But I had to sort of face the reality that with Ife, as much as I wanted all the musicians to be like this band that had each individual personality, I recorded all the music myself. I wrote all the songs myself. I was the only one that really understood conceptually what it was that I was doing. So from the get, I would make sure that I field all the interviews that I'm, you know, because no one really knows how to talk about my music because they don't know how or why I made it, you know? And so I think over time, it took me a little bit of time to realize, like, I'm never really going to have that group where it's like, you know, like a band. And so at this point, the people that I'm working with are just great musicians that love the music and want to play it. And so the best I can really do for them is give them the opportunity as musicians to play music at the highest level that they've had a chance to play and to be part of something that really is just, you know, único or completely unique. And so I've tried really hard to pick just amazing players and put us on stages that will give them the opportunity to shine in a way that they perhaps have not had the opportunity to do before.
So we are talking with Ife, our artist spotlight of the week, and we're going to play another track from your upcoming record, which is going to come out on November 5th. This is The Terror. Give me a little history of where in your body, in your whole soul, this came from.
Yeah, so The Terror is called The Terror because it's a song for the Orisha Oya. And the Orisha Oya is the Orisha or the deity in the Yoruba pantheon that's associated with storms. So the storm as a agent of destruction to create the space for new things to grow. And so she tears. And so that is where the name The Terror comes from. Now, we had a storm in Puerto Rico called Hurricane Maria that really shook things up and was a huge agent of change for bad and for good in Puerto Rico. And so I wrote The Terror sort of in response to that storm and to the idea of uncontrollable change. Like when Oya and her energy comes into your life, there's nothing you can really do. You can just look and wait for the storm to finish. And so it's the idea of internalizing and really seeing the true power of uncontrollable change. And so that's where the song The Terror comes from. And I'm singing to Oya herself. So
that was The Terror from Ife, who we are talking to right now. And, you know, you said that is a song that is, inspired by the Orisha related to storms. And you're talking about Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. You are originally from Indiana, but you're currently living in New Orleans, who has also gone through some intense storm activity, you know, not just this year, but over the last decade. Sure. Talk to me about your experience living in New Orleans and how it's affected you as a musician.
Well, yeah, so I moved here. It'll be almost a year. It'll be a year in October. So I've been here a little bit less than a year. You know, I picked up and moved during the pandemic, and I basically moved in isolation. So I got here, shipped all my studio, everything I had from Puerto Rico, and set up in a spot here in St. Rock in New Orleans, and was basically in quarantine until March, you know, until I got vaccinated. And so sort of the moment I got vaccinated, I got a call to play a Roomba gig with a guy named Bill Summers. And Bill Summers is sort of a legendary percussionist, African-American, who is probably the most famous African-American that plays Orisha music and Roomba. He used to be the drummer for Herbie Hancock and the Headhunters. He's still the drummer for the Headhunters. Wow. And so he toured with Herbie during the heyday of Herbie Hancock and the Headhunters in the 80s. And then later when he got off tour, he started playing religious bata music with a guy in LA named Lázaro Galarraga. And he was...
Oh, Lázaro, a friend of the family, has performed at Subsuelo many times.
There you go.
A legend in the scene.
Yeah. So he was Lázaro's main bata player for maybe like 5 years. And then he moved to New Orleans. And so the first gig I got a call to do was a gig with him. And he actually called me about 2 weeks after I moved out here. And we were on the phone the whole time, sort of like waiting to meet each other. And so as soon as I got vaccinated, I started to meet this group of musicians that were either part of the Orisha community or part of the Mardi Gras Indian community or part of the Afro-Brazilian community. There's another brother named Curtis Pierre that I'm drumming for out here. And so I started drumming for all these sort of like folklore legends, and none of them really knew anything about Ife. I was just like another drummer out there that was new in town and could play. And that felt really good because I was able to just communicate on a very basic level with these incredible musicians. While I sort of had an eye on how to build my band in NOLA. And so we were able to put together a band to play for the video for Fake Blood, which is our first single off of this record. And I'm now basically, literally, I have the band at my house. We're rehearsing right now for an upcoming tour that we have. So little by little, I've been able to put together a band. But yeah, we just went through a hurricane, which is Hurricane Ida, maybe like 3 weeks ago. And so, you know, the power was knocked out at my place for about 10 or 12 days. You know, there's still folks in other parishes here in Louisiana that don't have power yet. It wasn't an extremely destructive storm in terms of flooding, but there was a lot of wind damage. And, you know, people got put in positions that were really difficult in the summertime, not having power, especially folks that were older, people that needed medical attention that required electricity. Half of my band evacuated, and it's right as we're getting ready to come together for a tour. So yeah, it was a little crazy, but I mean, it wasn't anything that, you know, I maybe wasn't already a bit used to living in Puerto Rico. And again, even the Indiana thing, if you listen to The Terror, I mentioned two towns in Indiana because where I grew up, there was a very famous set of tornadoes that came through during a Palm Sunday called the Palm Sunday Tornadoes. Mm. And that's like tornado legend in the Midwest. And so that idea of the storm and the winds of change have been something that really have been with me my whole life.
So we are talking with Ife, our artist spotlight of the week, and I think you could kind of accurately and lazily be described as either electronic music or world music, or as traditional or as experimental. You kind of like, however you describe you, it's kind of accurate and also misses the point. but I think that the part that I find kind of most interesting is the relationship between you as kind of popular dance music and then as devotional, sacred music. And so I just sure. wanted to talk to you about that kind of, is it a tension? Is it something that feels natural to you to be doing spiritual music that is also for the club?
No, I mean, I think like, you know, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day who is a great, like, Orisha drummer. He plays a lot of that music, you know, really, really well. And he's gotten put in the position to like have to teach some Orisha dance classes, but he's not a practitioner. And he was talking to me saying, hey, man, I'm actually, you know, atheist, but I really feel this music and I was drawn to it and blah, 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 and this and that. And I was telling him, I was like, look, man, the idea that like you can have, you know, drumming or music without dance is sort of against the African philosophy. And the idea that you could worship but without music also goes against the African view of the world, right? So I don't think that, I think it's the Western world that tries to get us to think that music is devoid of spirituality, that the two can be separate, you know, whereas a prayer to me is simply you putting your intention and your feeling into your words and pushing them out. And those words and that intention have an effect. That's a prayer. But we can also sing prayers. And so what is happening with Ife's music is a lot of that stuff that I'm singing are prayers. And whether you understand the words or not, the intention that I put behind the music and even the drums themselves sometimes, because in African religion, sometimes the drums are mimicking the words of a prayer. And so they are also tech to reach you in a way that's beyond the way modern science will admit that it works, you know? And so, you know, I think sometimes in the Western world, we forget the power of some of these simple things. You know, there's a really famous Bruce Lee quote where he's talking about, you know, they wouldn't call it spelling if it wasn't like, you know, like a spell or whatnot. You know, like we forget that, like, that those words, like a curse word, you know, sometimes we'll think about curse words as bad words, but they're really just words that are like very negatively charged and coming out of our mouths, and they can't have an effect. I mean, you can even see it in science where they'll show folks that are like talking bad to water and the water molecules change. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, yeah. It's the same sort of effect. So I don't think that even someone like Aretha Franklin that's singing Respect or whatever, like she came out of the church, you know, and she knows how to sing and bring emotion through music because of the church, but she can sing secular songs, you know? And, but you're still using it. When she sings secular songs, it's not like she's not putting that emotion and attention into the music. You know what I mean? Usher's the same way. And I think you see that a lot in the Black community, generally speaking, because our religious music is so tied to the way we understand music, generally speaking, you know?
Yeah, if I was going to describe Ife's music with one word, I think I would go with spellbinding.
There you go. I think it's a good one. Hell yeah, that's super good, man. I'm nicking that one.
That was music for Egun Movement 2. We are talking with Ife about their new record, Yekun Meyi, which is coming out on November 5th. They got two songs already out right now, Fake Blood and The Terror. Thank you so much, Oturo, for coming by the program. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for having me,
man. You guys do such a great live show. I can't wait to see you perform again. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, Canyon. I really appreciate you, brother. You take good care of yourself. See you soon.
All right.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Alternalido podcast. My name is Canyon Cody from the Subsuelo crew, inviting you to join us over on the radio show where we play new music every Sunday, 11 p.m., broadcasting out the world famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles or streaming on the free Odyssey app. You might find your new favorite song on the radio show, but then come back here onto the podcast and maybe find your new favorite band. Follow and listen to the Alternalivo podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.